How you doing? This is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? We are up to episode 72, and today we're going to do something a little different. I am going to be having guests on the show because we're going to be pitching a new idea, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. But right now, let me remind you, Who's Paying Attention is brought to you by GoDaddy. They have everything you need to put your business online, find new customers, and just basically kick ass online. So you get started by registering a domain name and creating your website with GoDaddy's easy-to-use website builder, all right? Or if you got a site, you can keep it running fast with GoDaddy web hosting. This is what you do. Visit GoDaddy.com, enter promo code Alonzo32, and save 32% on your new purchases. Now, you know there's some limits and legal mumbo-jumbo. It's all on the website. I would read it to you now, but I can't do that little fast voice that goes through all the legal stuff just like that. So read it for yourself and go check out GoDaddy. So here we are. We're going to do my podcast, and we got a title for this one. We're calling it The Truth in Black and White. And this is going to turn into a pitch, and hopefully that pitch becomes a TV show, and then you'll be able to tune in every week, and you'll see me doing this show, and these guys will get paid to be here. I've got two great guests. Mr. Roy Wood, you know him from Sullivan & Sons, a sitcom. He's a Bob and Tom regular, and he introduced me to the word mollywop. Roy Wood has...
There's other words I can introduce you to.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Not appropriate for this podcast.
Roy Wood has expanded my vocabulary. Along with Roy, we have Mal Hall representing the younger generation of comedy. Mal runs the comedy show at the Gaslamp Comedy Show in San Diego.
At the Tipsy Crow.
And Mal on occasion opens for me on the road, but that won't last too much longer because he's getting too damn funny.
And goddamn right.
I can't work that
You know
hard.
They fire you when you start getting funny.
That's what he told me.
I'm dead serious.
He got about 4 months. And I will leave him on the road. You understand?
Ron White just quit calling me. Damn it. I opened for Ron White for like a month. He was like, Roy, we can't be having that. Get somebody else in there.
It's the most humiliating compliment of all time.
It is. I went through it too. We all went through it. So I'm looking forward to the day that I fire Mal Hall. Well, let's start it out. We got a lot going on. We're going to start with a tragedy and in a confusing way it's being handled. South by Southwest, as you know, is a huge music festival down in Austin every year, and there was a tragedy. Rashad Carwan Owens, drunk driving, racing down.
Spell his middle name without looking at the paper. Carwan.
Carwan.
Carwan. The number seven.
That's one of the blackest middle names of all time.
This is why I do this by myself, because when you invite Roy Woods, this is what you get. Roy,
I'm sorry.
The least of his problems right now is the spelling of his middle name, all right? Because what he did, he was driving drunk, he plowed into a crowd, killed two people, and unfortunately a third one has died. He's injured dozens more, and he is facing capital murder charges in Texas. Jeez. For doing this. So, and justifiably so. But here's the interesting part. Texas, if you remember, is the same state that Ethan Couch used the affluenza defense. Ethan Couch was a very rich young guy who he plowed into people, killed four, injured nine more. His defense was, my parents were so rich and going through a divorce that they never took the time to teach me right from wrong.
So I was affluent.
So I didn't know that drunk driving and killing people was wrong. And as a result, he got sentenced to rehab and 10 years probation. And it's known as the affluenza defense. So here's my issue with it, okay? And a lot of people are going to jump up right now because they don't listen to the whole story. And they're already like, oh, you're going to take the brother's side. And if you hadn't guessed that Rashad Carwan is a brother, then you really didn't listen to that name, did you? But anyway.
Thought he was Japanese.
Yeah, he could have been.
Rashad is
so people are going to say, oh, you just protect him because he's a brother. No, I don't think he should get off. I think Ethan Couch, the white guy, should be in jail. I think they should both be charged with capital murder. So here's the question that I'm putting to my two geniuses here. Which color makes more difference, black and white or green, the color of Ethan's cash?
Oh, green. Green is why he got off. Green is the reason why a lot of rich people don't go to jail for the same crimes that broke people get accused of. Mm-hmm. Boils down to your lawyer, dude.
Yeah, well, Green is what kept OJ out of jail.
Exactly.
He just wasn't smart enough to keep his mouth shut. I don't think at any point Ethan's going to write a book called How I Did It.
How I Got Drunk and Ran Over Four People and Murdered Them.
Yeah.
So, how I Knew I Was Breaking the Law.
But, yeah, now this is Texas, though. So if they were both the same economically, if Rashad was rich or if Ethan wasn't rich, and I don't know if, I'm not going to say Rashad is poor. I'm just say I know he's not rich. He's right. Not using the affluenza defense. In Texas, does a black guy drunk driving killing people get the same justice as a white guy drunk driving killing people?
No, I'm sure just in the South in general, it's the blacker you are, the more in trouble you are for the same crime. That's what I would assume.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I'm from Alabama. That's very much true. But I don't understand why he can't just play the same defense but reverse.
Like, right, I was too poor to know the difference.
Yeah, we didn't have TV, so we never saw the commercial.
I think he tried that one, and they said, poor people learn shit in jail. That's what poor people learn.
Your Honor, my parents could not afford. My client grew up eating mayonnaise sandwiches, Your Honor.
It's not going to work. He's going to go down, but I don't know. I just think Ethan should have gone down on this one, too.
Look at the chair. They'll try and kill him.
Oh, yeah. Rashad is facing the chair. He is facing capital murder on this, which, again, you know, Texas, you'll get it. Texas, you will get capital murder for this. In other states, you had a chance. And this guy had a prior drunk driving up in Alaska.
Oh, well,
so he was
done.
Already wanted on a felony drunk driving. So
he's done then.
Yeah, he's done.
That makes it totally different from the white dude then. Because the white dude was squeaky clean before he jumped the curb and hit people, right?
Right.
Yeah, but does that make it different?
No, it doesn't. But in the eyes of the jury, you know it is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he'll see a jury. He's in Texas. They might just decide. We talked it over.
Who's my trial? Now you're here. Right. You're here, buddy.
Right. You know, we talked it over and decided we ain't need to waste money on 12 guys.
Sit in that timeout chair really quick.
What chair? Right here? Yeah, put this on your head.
All right.
The timeout chair. Is that what they call the electric chair? It's not the death penalty, it's timeout.
That's the last timeout. That's the last timeout. That's how you get them to sit comfortably.
That's the ultimate timeout.
The state of Texas sentences you to timeout. You are hereby reprimanded to the custody.
All right. I love the fact that I brought these two guys on this show. All right, we're going to move on.
So demonic.
To our next story. And this one, this is my ongoing problem with the Democrats, that the party is so weak and so not unified, and they will turn their backs on Barack Obama so quick.
The drop of a dime.
It's unbelievable. So right now, Barack Obama, and here's another name we're going to work with, Roy, he has nominated Dr. Vivek Halagir or Halagiri. Which way are you going on this one, Roy?
Halagir.
We're going to go with Halagir. Dr. Vivek Halagir Murthy, nominated as a Surgeon General. Now, obviously, he has all the qualifications, one of which was he was a surgeon in the emergency room. And as a result, he is anti-gun. So what he learned from being in an emergency room is that bullets are really bad for you.
Bullets don't help?
They don't help. It never works out. You know, you're an emergency room surgeon. So he's anti-gun. So what happened? The minute that came out, of course the NRA is against him being nominated as Surgeon General, because the NRA is expert on all medical matters.
Right,
of course.
Right?
And Senate Democrats, when they heard the NRA didn't like it, they ran so fast they didn't know what to do. They just said, nope, it's our president's nominee. We are the Democratic Party. Do we support him? Oh, no, because they're scared. And this is what they're doing, and this is the real pussy part of it. The way they're getting out of it is they're not going to hold the vote. This way, they never go on record.
No one has to go on the record.
They're just not going to vote on him, you know, being nominated as a Surgeon General.
Now, so listen, they just leave Obama hanging by himself with this dude.
I don't blame the Republicans on this one, right? Because the Republicans stick together and they back the NRA. So when the NRA says, we don't like this guy, I am not at all surprised that the Republicans don't like this guy, beside the fact that Barack Obama nominated him. So automatically,
they
the
don't
Republicans
like this guy.
Automatically have to turn this right. guy down. If Barack Obama had nominated the head of the NRA,
right.
the Republicans would have...
We don't like this guy.
No, their heads would have just exploded. they couldn't figure that out. Yeah. I don't know why Barack doesn't do that once. Just nominate a Republican right. just to see what happens. But
I
anyway.
Nominate John McCain.
Really? McCain's going Democrat.
So, you know, once again, the Democratic Party divides on itself and won't back this guy. And this is not a lightweight. This guy, Harvard and Yale educated. You know, in other words, could not be more qualified
right.
to be the Surgeon General, but he doesn't like guns because bullets are bad for you, and the Senate will not vote on his nomination.
I think the bigger question is, why is the Senate so full of a bunch of pussies who don't want to go on the record for what they believe in? If you believe that you're pro-gun, then stand beside that, but don't stand in the darkness and go, no. He sucks. I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
I'm not going to do anything.
They call, and you're from the South, so you're familiar with this because this is where most of these Democratic senators come from. They call them blue dog Democrats. And they're Democrats, but they're afraid to offend any Republicans because they might not get reelected, you know, because their district is mm-hmm. predominantly Republican. So they're in the Republican Party, they call them rhinos, Republican in name only. Mm-hmm. In the Democratic Party, they don't give them a name because Democrats are too afraid to insult anybody. Yeah. So they don't even have a name for it. But, this is expanding even farther. This is the problem with when they talk about Barack Obama's legacy, right?
Right.
This is the part that I don't think history will ever accurately
depict,
which is – Barack. You know, you look at health care. They're like, oh, Obamacare didn't work. But they won't say that. Oh, the Congress fought every step of the way right. to make sure it didn't work.
Right.
They'll just say Barack Obama's health care plan. And actually, I think it will work. But anyway, this is what happens with anything Barack Obama tries to do. And at what point do you think he should get mad? Do you think that this Democratic senators who do have the backbone to say this is the right guy for the job should insist on a vote so you have to show where you stand?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do to stop this kind of nonsense? Because the fact that our government is held hostage by the NRA, people don't realize how small the NRA is. The NRA is like a terrier that barks really loud.
Right.
They're not that big an organization. They just have a really big mouth.
The PR team.
Yeah. So...
They probably have a lot of money, too.
They have money. They don't have a lot of money.
They don't have, like, big oil money.
Right. They don't have money like say, the casino guy who spent $100 million of his own money, you know what I mean, to fight Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly don't have big oil money,
right.
big tobacco money, big, agriculture. They don't have any kind of – what they have is a block of single-issue voters.
Right.
They have a block of voters that will vote based on one issue because the NRA tells them to.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into, well, how much does the individual voter count? You know, so that's another issue. But they scare politicians. Politicians are scared of the NRA.
They got enough to pay off a couple of lobbyists and try to influence something. They always have. I mean, even when Charlton Heston was at the helm, they've always been able to kind of push certain votes a certain way that benefits them. But that's what every group wants. Every group wants something that fiscally benefits their organization.
They've been able to push votes, but this is the difference. They normally push the vote on a congressman or a senator based on guns. Now they're moving into other parts of the government. They've never tried to affect the Surgeon General before. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing if you're running for Congress and they're like, oh, you're anti-gun, we're going to spend a lot of money to get you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole different thing when they start getting
involved. What he does has nothing to do with gun control. It's
right.
not like
right.
he's going to be the guy.
Right. He's not going to make the decision on gun control. He just says bullets are bad for you.
And the NRA,
which is a true statement for the record. It's not like they're not nutritious.
I didn't go to med school, but I'm gonna go ahead and back you up on the thing that bullets are completely unhealthy.
I think we're forgetting that the NRA's motto is "bullets are great for you," and that's why.
Now we're gonna bounce off of that story to another one, and this is one of my favorites because I personally, I like crazy politicians because as a comedian, it makes it so much easier to write. So Michelle Bachmann has been one of our favorites for the past few years.
Nice eyes on her.
And right now, she got those crazy eyes, don't she? She? Can you imagine?
I call them lifetime eyes.
Like if somebody hooked you up with a girl and she had Michelle Bachmann eyes.
Just bugged out
and
of
the rest
skull.
Of her, the rest of her was banging, but she had Michelle Bachmann eyes.
Couldn't do it, Roy.
I'm not even going to ask Mal, because Roy, his standards are so ridiculously high. That's a whole different show.
Well, it can be because he's in San Diego.
That's
so
a whole
like a
different
bunch of
show.
Quality stuff. I'm in Alabama with a bunch of third round draft picks. Take what you can get, sir.
D-League members down there. Yeah.
No disrespect if you're listening from Alabama. You know I love y'all, and if you're listening, I'll still have sex with you.
So, Michelle Bachmann, she's sick and tired of gay bullying. All right? She is tired of these gay people. She has, and I'm quoting, she says they have bullied the American people, and they intimidate politicians. All right? And she said, this is coming from the right to refuse service bill in Arizona. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, Arizona recently, their legislature passed a bill that said if you, for religious reasons, don't like gay married couples, you don't have to serve them. So they tried to bring back segregation, okay? Mm-hmm. And at the last minute, the governor of Arizona vetoed the bill because
the
NFL said we're not bringing the Super Bowl. Apple said we're not building a new factory. So basically she was about to sign a bill that was going to segregate Arizona from a lot of money.
Yeah.
So she vetoed the bill and it just set Michelle Bachmann off. So, you know, Michelle Bachmann's ultimately her quote was, they have so bullied, she's talking about gay people. They have so bullied the American people and intimidated politicians that politicians fear them and they think they get to dictate the agenda everywhere.
Isn't that the whole point of a group? To be able to...
Isn't that what we just said about the NRA?
Yeah.
And she loves the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
A small group of people who bully the American public and intimidate politicians.
Well, I would imagine that GLAAD is much bigger and much more active than the NRA. I don't know if their fiscal reach, I don't know if their pockets are as deep as the NRA, but in terms of if gay people are mad or the NRA is mad, who's going to get more attention, I think, is gay people.
You think so? I think the NRA affects government far more than gay people.
Ain't nobody been fired for being anti-guns. Nobody had to go on TV and apologize.
No one had to go on TV and apologize, but there are a lot of people out of work because they were anti-gun.
Yeah, but I think the NRA does it quietly, and gay people, it's like in your face.
Oh, they brand you, they shame you, they put you all up on a, you know, they kind of hang you from a bridge, so to speak. And like
look
at this homophobic idiot.
Mm-hmm.
We are also talking about completely different levels of discrimination. You know, in other words, the NRA, you are not discriminated against because you're a gun owner. There's no bill that says, and in Arizona, oddly enough, you can bring your gun to the lunch counter.
But hide it under your shirt.
There's no bill that is written against you. They didn't have to protest to allow gun owners to get married.
Right.
You know,
I mean, gun owners weren't getting beat up and hate crimes and
beating up a gun owner is probably not a good idea.
That's not smart.
Backfire on you. So
you
ingest
some
of
those bullets.
But this is the thing about Michelle Bachmann, and it's actually true of a bunch of other politicians, but this is always my question. Don't they have someone on staff to tell them to shut up? You know what I mean? When Michelle Bachmann makes, because you literally, what she just said, you could take out gays and substitute NRA, and that statement would be absolutely true.
Right.
And since she is this right-wing Tea Party, like, shouldn't she have somebody on staff who's smart enough to say, hey, this probably isn't a good idea?
Well, and just discriminating on gay people in general probably isn't a good idea.
Well, this is America.
It's not a good idea, though.
Well, you're in a different America. They spell America without the A.
America. Only an eagle.
And Roy, you're going to have to take him down and show him America.
I don't think they're bullying as much as it is using their power to influence some level of equality where black people bullies. And I'm tired of these black people bullying us into giving them rights.
Right.
That's yeah, what they I was believe thinking. They believe that.
I was thinking you believe could take this out
Martin
gay
Luther
people.
King bully.
Mm-hmm. You could put black people in that sentence and it would be the same thing 20 years right. ago, 30 years ago.
Well, yeah. Or even 50 years yeah. ago. Or last week in Texas.
Right.
Either one. Right. But you know, and here's the thing about that discrimination, and that I love this because there's this one thing I don't understand, and I have a big problem with, is black homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Homophobia is huge in the black community.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of black people who for some, it's a weird thing, but they resent gay people getting civil rights because they're like, they're not black people. And here's the thing. The same strategy is used. You know, this biblical thing, this biblical angle is exactly what they used to justify segregation
and
against
slavery.
Black people and prior to that slavery.
Right.
So it's the same argument. And yet black people will somehow back the anti-gay people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's one of those things like, yeah, you're going to back them until you're not allowed at the lunch counter again. And then you're going to be, what? Wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. But
I want a milkshake. No, he can't have a milkshake.
Jesus said I ain't supposed to touch black people or gay people.
Yeah.
And if you're a gay Mexican with a black boyfriend in Arizona, run. That's just run. You know. So, but what do you think? Is it the same? I say being black and being gay is not the same, but civil rights are absolutely the same because civil rights state you're human and you have these rights as a human.
Right.
That's it, and that's all it needs to be. When you start comparing struggles and both of you taking your shirt off, counting lashes and scars to see who had it worse, it doesn't matter what the origin of it was. If both of you are being denied something, then to some degree you are the same. But I get what makes black people mad about that, because like I saw a gay dude at Starbucks. He had on a shirt that said gay is the new black. And I'm like, slow
wow.
down. I understand what you're saying, sir, but that shirt is far too generalized to be worn in public.
That's unless he's making a fashion statement about wearing a little gay dress. That's the only time that's going to work.
But no, they're not bullies.
And since we're on the topic of black civil rights and we brought up the topic of slavery, you'll be glad to know, Roy, you're from Alabama, so you in particular, this might hit even closer to home, but a man running for Congress in Arizona, Jim Brown, not the football player, he's a different kind of crazy. Jim Brown says that slavery wasn't so bad. He says that uh-oh. Slave owners took pretty good care of their slaves along with their livestock. He put them both the same, and he was responding to 12 Years a Slave winning the Academy Award, and he says, you know, it really wasn't that bad. And I'm glad that we have Jim Brown, the modern, well, I'm use modern in the sense that he lives in this century, congressman from Arizona, to explain slavery to us, as opposed to Solomon Northrop, who actually was the slave who yeah. wrote the book,
yes.
12 Years a Slave. Yeah. The man who actually was a slave for 12 years apparently didn't realize that it wasn't so bad.
Listen, as a supervisor of slaves, I got to tell you, it was great working conditions. The heat, the whipping, the rape, you know, just beating them down for not picking enough cotton every day. It wasn't that bad. You didn't die.
So I say
why
again,
are you crying?
Do these people, do they not have someone on their staff to tell them to shut up? Or is this just another one of those, and we know about this, the racially coded thing that Jim Brown says this because he knows this will get him the white supremacist vote, the white racist vote, whatever. You know, is that why he says it?
I know. Arizona, he's going to get elected. He's going to win by a landslide.
Arizona has reached the level of crazy. I was calling Arizona Western Mississippi, and that has become an insult to Mississippi.
His opponent has to come out and say that the Holocaust was like Mardi Gras. It's the only way his opponent wins.
It really is. It there's really
you have to out crazy.
There's no limit to the level. But again, I will give them this. They're consistent as opposed to the Democrats who you would ask, I'm really not sure on this slavery issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
how it was.
Some of the slaves had it good, didn't they? Yeah. Didn't they treat the ones in the house rather nicely?
The ones in the house treated okay.
The Democrats would be a little twisted on this one, but
they gave them pig's feet and shit. They were happy.
How dumb do you have to be as a voter though to go, Jim Brown's right, let me go vote for him?
But again, I don't think it's dumb. I think he's sending a coded message to his base.
I hate black people.
That's what he's saying. He can't say it out loud, but you just say slavery ain't so bad.
I just want to see the commercials. That's what I want to see. Jim Brown is a candidate that cares about the American public. Jim Brown is a candidate that cares about family value. Hi, I'm Jim Brown. Slavery wasn't bad.
Well,
in fact, it was awesome.
When Rush Limbaugh said the one advantage of slavery was full employment. Everyone did have a job.
Right.
So,
0% unemployment rate.
And now we're going to wrap up this segment with, and this just, it absolutely confuses me. I just don't understand the guys like this. So maybe you can explain this to me. Dr. Ben Carson, and this man, you can't say he's not intelligent, okay, because Ben Carson, it was the chief of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University. So he could pronounce every one of those names that Roy and I have been struggling with.
They probably all interned under him. Residency. And I don't know what a doctor internship
his story is. Couldn't be more rags to riches. You know, broken home in Detroit, just grew up, got the education, moved to the top, and now has become a black Tea Party Republican spokesman, and has said things. Most recently, he said Obamacare is the worst thing that's happened since slavery, which according to Jim Brown wasn't so bad. So I don't know if that's an inaccurate comparison.
That means it's pretty good.
And now he's saying that because of the health care plan, that America is in the Gestapo age and has compared the United States to Nazi Germany. How does that happen? Like, how do you shift that much? What I can't even talk about something like that, because I can't imagine like how his mind works, you know, other than the only thing he got a taste of fame when he was at that National Prayer Breakfast, which is a big thing in Washington where supposedly both sides, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, whatever, they all come together and they have basically a church breakfast, and they talk about spirituality. And so it's supposed to be a good thing. And he went a little tea party at that, and he got some press, and he liked it.
Yeah.
So the tea party, you know, they're always looking for a black guy to speak. I don't know if you guys have been approached. I've been approached.
Have you really?
To be like a conservative black. Yeah. Like, can you be a conservative black comic and do Fox News stuff? I've been asked that, not, you know. Because they're
like
looking for somebody.
Right.
Yeah. They're looking for somebody because that job is open. You know what I'm saying? Like they're
now hiring.
Right, right. If you were willing to be a black conservative comedian, you'd make it because there's nobody doing it. I don't know how to do it.
Make it how?
Money-wise.
Okay.
Money and fame. You would become famous and you'd make
you
a lot of money.
You would just have to literally leave the hood.
Yeah, well Ben Carson left, and I don't understand. I mean, I almost don't have an opinion on this because it so blows my mind. Because it's not like he came from, like he wasn't a Cosby kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you grew up a Cosby kid, if you grew up a rich black kid, and then you were Tea Party conservative,
Uncle Phil,
might understand that. But when you come... When you worked your way up, which meant he had to deal with it. He dealt with discrimination. You know, you grew up in Detroit. You had crime, everything. Knowing that how difficult it could be to make this full switch and decide Barack Obama is just short of slavery.
Well, I think it comes down to what's your price. If somebody said, Alonzo, $200 million, I need you to say this, this, and this. Would you?
That's a pretty good offer. He's starting at $200 million, Roy.
Nah, Ben Carson did this for free. This one was on the house.
Ben Carson's doing this strictly for publicity.
But publicity for what? To do what? To write another book? He's already written two books. He's a surgeon.
Name, Because now you know the name Ben Carson.
So when I get shot, do I go, hey, take me Ben Carson?
Steele, oddly enough, Michael Steele ended up with a job on MSNBC. But, you know, that's what Michael Steele got, being the black guy who was the head of the Republican Party. And
I think he's setting himself up for a political run.
There's talk of him, but what, to what end? They're not going to vote for him. I mean, it was like Herman Cain. Herman Cain was, you know, he was entertaining for a while.
Right.
But if you're a white person who supports Jim Brown and you say slavery wasn't that bad, you're not voting for Herman Cain nor Ben Carson.
Right. You're laughing at them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he can call Alan Keyes and Alan Keyes can give him some pointers.
Alan got a lot of free time now, don't he? Alan, too, is out of work. Touché. You know what I'm saying? Touché. Just know there's no future in it, Roy. I'm just saying.
Well, then why would I want to be a comedian in that world? Eventually,
they paying. Because they paying. They looking for somebody. All right, guys. So that's it for the more or less the news portion of the podcast. You guys are great. Now, we're going to move to a little segment I like to call More Than 140. More than one, because we're going to talk about Twitter. As you know, like we've been talking about news, and that's for people who actually read the news, which you know, this is the United States. Ain't nobody reading all those big articles anymore.
Jim Brown's followers.
Your news comes from Twitter. 140 characters. We are going to expand. We're going to do more than 140. And here's the first thing that I want to talk about. Black Twitter. Roy, you up on Black Twitter?
Oh, absolutely.
Roy's up on Black Twitter.
I F's with Black Twitter.
Mal? You on Black Twitter?
I have no idea what Black Twitter is. Before you sent me this email, I had no idea what Black Twitter is.
You're a liar.
Is. Swear to God.
Never heard the word.
Never ever. Heard the word.
To those who don't know, and it was news to me, I heard about it a little before this, but I didn't realize how big a deal it had become. Hashtag Black Twitter is just that. It's tweets from the black community. It's the black community's, I don't know, views on things trending in social media. Some of it is some of the funniest stuff you'll ever see, because you know there's times when we just don't know how to act.
Right.
And there's other times when it can be like, say, a real story, a real news story, but a different point of view on it. So,
and sometimes it's just twerking videos.
Too often it's twerking videos.
There's a balance.
World Star on Twitter.
with a sprinkle of opinion in there.
It's somewhere. World Star with a sprinkle of literacy.
Yeah. There you go.
Here's my question. Is it necessary? In other words, is Twitter not good enough? Do you have to specify hashtag Black Twitter? Because it's not a closed community.
Right.
It's not like, you know, you don't, in other words, there's no code to log in. Because one of the tweets I read on Black Twitter was this guy wrote, if you want to keep it a secret from black people, put it on a job application. Right? So I don't think a brother tweeted that one.
Twist on the Chris Rock joke.
But seriously, you open yourself up to that, right? When you create Black Twitter, you do open yourself up to
that. But it's no different than the waves of... And I know it's different. It might not be a fair comparison, but it's no different than like the Justin Bieber fans or the One Direction fans. And so, like, if you tweet something negative about Justin Bieber right now, I promise you, you'll get like 40 people attacking you who just sit and squat all day waiting to defend the honor of Justin Bieber. And there's black people to a degree that are like that as well. So if you have white, perfect example, Chelsea Handler started talking out the side of her mouth.
That was the next
those jokes.
Topic I wanted to bring up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So black people, a.k.a. Black Twitter, basically people who hold and possess stereotypical black views or cultural POVs or whatever, they went in on her.
Right.
You know, they went in on during the Super Bowl. They went in on Bruno Mars.
Well, since you brought up Chelsea Handler, you're getting ahead of us, Roy. Stop reading ahead.
No, I wasn't reading.
This one of them brothers that in school was a problem.
I went to college.
Because he was always asking about the next chapter
ahead.
Right? And six brothers ain't read the chapter that we on.
I'd like to discuss number 15, please. Like, shut up.
See? That's how you get your ass mollywopped after school. You get a mollywopping after school for acting up like that. So they go right together. During the Oscars, Chelsea Handler took over the Huffington Post Twitter feed, okay, and she was tweeting. Now, she has a book right, called Uganda Be Kidding Me, mm-hmm. about her trip to Africa. So her tweets, she was promoting her book in the tweets. And to give you an example, here was one. Congratulations, hashtag 12 years a slave. And then she wrote, go to Africa or buy, hashtag Uganda Be Kidding Me, which was promoting her book. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kenyan supporting actress. Man, they're killing me on names. Lupita Nyong'o. I said Lupita Nyong'o. I just said it, Roy.
Oh, I thought
you know, Ben Carson ain't the only one went to school.
I just wanted to make sure you
just worry about spelling mollywop. Okay, so Lupita Nyong'o won the supporting actress Oscar, and right away Chelsea Handler was hashtag Angelina Jolie just filed adoption papers, blah, blah, blah.
Now, that was funny.
That's
do
funny.
You think, well, this is my point. I don't think Chelsea Handler's a racist. I think Chelsea Handler's a shock comic,
right?
Who knew that tweeting things that were totally inappropriate was going to, you know, shoot up the rating, get more people interested, and get people looking at her book, Uganda Be Kidding Me. I don't put Chelsea Handler in the same category as Congressman Jim Brown.
Yeah.
But Black Twitter does. A lot of people on Black Twitter do. And I think sometimes that and I've encountered this, and I'm going to get crucified by the people who listen, but Black people, we take ourselves too seriously. You know, when you do a comedy show, you know, I've made fun of Mexicans. I've made fun of Jewish people, white people. You know, I even had three Filipino jokes for the three Filipinos who were in the crowd. But when you make fun of Black people get upset.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't talk about us. And then you add to that the mob mentality of people just wanting to join on to something to be cool. And, oh, well, if this is what everybody's talking about, this is who they're attacking, well, I'm going to join in on the attack as well for no reason other than wanting to be popular.
And the fact that she's white makes a big deal is a big deal, too. If she was black and made the same joke.
She did try to I have a black boyfriend defense because she was hooking up with Fitty for a while. So she's like,
that should have earned her a couple of black joke coupons. Yeah.
You know.
I don't know, man. I think the whole Black Twitter phenomena is it's very interesting, but ultimately I don't think it's something that people should allow to influence their decisions, because at the end of the day, there's more people not on Twitter than there are on Twitter in terms of the total population.
And there's more people on Twitter who are not contributing to hashtag Black Twitter.
Right. So I think it's another one of those cases where, and it's like you said, it's like the Bieber Nation or something. It's when you limit your circle to that small group that mm-hmm. thinks like you do,
right.
Your mind never expands. But I would say the big difference between the Justin Bieber followers or anything else on Twitter like that is Black Twitter people, like, they take it as a social movement. You know what I mean? It's like Bieber fans still read Twitter about other things, and they might be open to Twitter or other things. Whereas hashtag Black Twitter, I think too many people are going to twist everything to be a black story, which I say on a show called The Truth in Black and White, which I'm trying to twist into a black story. Yeah. To get paid.
But to Black Twitter's defense, it's not all ignorant twerk videos hypersensitivity to racism.
I'm not saying it's all ignorant.
Trayvon Martin jurors decided they were going to write a book, Black Twitter, ate her ass up. Two hours later, all right, I'm not going to write a book.
No, I'm not saying it's all ignorant, because it's definitely not.
What sucks, though, is that the ignorance is what really gets prominence and what floats to the top.
Right. Well, I think that's true in our society, definitely in the black community. You know, it's almost like, you know, that whole keeping it real.
Yeah.
You're not from the hood. Like, they held it against you. If mm-hmm. your parents were married and had jobs, you were somehow not keeping it real.
Right.
You know?
People accuse me of acting white all the people. Black people accuse me of acting white all the time.
We were going to talk after the show.
Okay. God damn it.
You're supposed to be carrying your end.
All you're doing is just existing and just being yourself.
It just seems like a voluntary segregation at this point to me.
Brilliant. That's it, exactly.
You know?
That's it.
Like, why? It doesn't seem necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Just from learning about it today. I'm black. I'm on Twitter. I could still tweet about black issues and not hashtag it Black Twitter. It's just put it on Twitter.
Yep. I mean, the moment you... I'll give you another good one where Black Twitter went crazy. Best Man Holiday. So when that movie came out, and it was Taye Diggs and... I don't know, two, three other black actresses most black women want to bang. And the whole movie is black love, mm-hmm. black positivity, black marriage. Mm-hmm. They tweet a picture of all three male stars from the holiday movie with their white wives.
Mm. Oops.
Yeah. And so they put up, it was like a meme, and it was like what they show you in TV.
Right. Real life.
Like real life.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you cannot make a movie like that without Morris Chestnut. You simply cannot make a black romantic comedy without Morris Chestnut.
Or Michael Ealy.
If you want to make any money on it.
It was Taye Diggs. And it was Terrence Howard. I can't forget who the third dude was with a white wife. And they just like roasted him. They're like, oh, dang, what these black men want. They want their white girl.
You know, Wesley Snipes went through that back in his career because they said he never had a black woman
co-star.
And mm-hmm. And then he did Waiting to Exhale, and it was kind of like that. That was they were like, all right, you all right, we're going to let you back in.
Now you're cool.
Did he bang the black chick in Blade? I think he just turned her into a vampire. Okay, yeah.
One of them was his mom, right? There was one that was
Sanaa Lathan was his mom.
Yeah, she was his mom. Yeah. Damn, Mal looked at me like I didn't know what I was talking about.
No, I thought you meant he banged his mom.
Which Blade did you watch? Mal, you've been watching them white vampire movie. You've been watching Twilight.
Twinkle and disappear. No, Blade slash your ass and you turn into flames.
Come on, man. Whoosh. Supposed to be watching Blade. He's watching Twilight.
I've seen Blade.
Go see it again, brother.
I've seen both
Obviously,
Blades.
Obviously, you missed the message.
I thought you were saying he banged his mom.
Can someone get on Black Twitter and
what
welcome?
What's the message of Blade? Welcome, Black message?
Welcome at Mal Hall to Black Twitter. We're going to go the other way, okay? We've all heard this argument 1,000 times. There's BET, there's Black Entertainment Television. What's White Entertainment Television? And as we've told them before, everything else. White power on Twitter. A high school in Michigan, okay, Howell High. The boys' basketball team won over Grand Blanc. And isn't it great that the school's name is Grand Blanc? And Grand Blanc is the school with the black players? Not an all-black team, but they had a mixed team. But anyway, Howell High School wins this basketball game, and Howell High School's team is all white, and they get right on Twitter, and some of the example tweets, all hail white power, hashtag Hitler is my dad.
It was funny till the hashtag.
Yeah. Other hashtags, KKK, Light the Cross, Rosa Parks, We is White, which covers the ignorance on both sides.
Of course.
Okay, and the principal of the school said that disciplinary action was taken, but nothing's been done. So what do you do with that level of ignorance? You know, the other high school, Grand Blanc, the principal said that they had no idea that racism still existed on that level. And, you know, Twitter allows anonymous racism. Mm-hmm. Twitter, racism has always been a place for cowards to hide, but Twitter allows you to go public with this.
You should have to pay to have a Twitter account.
Yeah, that would change.
If you had to pay to have a Twitter account, that would change all this. No one's going to... You have to pay $100 a year or $100 a month to be able to tweet all these...
Start having rules and regulations.
Okay, hashtag Rosa Parks tweets would not show up.
I hate to say it, but Mal just got slammed on Black Twitter. Asking for $100 a month is one of them bougie brothers.
Black Twitter would go away because Black... Twitter would it be 40 people on one account? Like it's a Netflix password. Let me get your Twitter account. I just want to sign in real quick, check my DMs, see what's going on. I asked this question. No, it wasn't right that they did it, and they're not going to really be disciplined. Anytime young white kids say something that's ridiculously off the wall, they send them to a class and talk to them and give them a stern finger wagging. But I wonder if the black kids did something during the game or either the black fans or the black kids on the court that got them that riled up, because I'm sure an all-white school has beat a black school before in basketball, and it didn't turn into Klan Fest online.
The way the story's written, and obviously I don't know exactly what happened, but it's not the black school versus the white school. It was the white school versus a mixed school.
Right.
They say Grand Blanc has a mix of black and white students and black and white players, But these guys just took pride in being an all-white team that won. This isn't, you know, this isn't Kentucky versus Houston back in the 60s.
Where is that school?
Michigan.
Michigan.
Okay, that's fine. But if that's the case, then why? This was like the championship game, right?
Semis.
Okay.
Semis.
So then that means as an all-white team, you've beaten other teams. And I'm sure somewhere along the way in the area tournament and then the state tournament, you've played other mixed schools. Why didn't you go into Klan Fest in the quarterfinals? Why didn't you go into Klan Fest in the
area? So you think this white team got picked on at some level for being
a white team? I believe something incited that. I'm not saying it's right that it happened. I'm not defending them, but I'm saying for them to just all of a sudden in the semis go, oh, hail Hitler. What? Did that just come out of nowhere?
I think there should be transparency. I think if you're bold enough to say that, you know, quoting Tony Dungy and Jay Moore, put your name on it. Put your name on it. If you want to say, you know, white power won this basketball game, hashtag KKK,
right,
then tell them who you are.
Yep.
Wear your hood in the layup lines.
Yeah.
Wear your Klan gear in layup lines.
Well, you might trip. You might trip on your robe.
They got short sets.
But
Klan has short sets.
That's what I think you should have to. I don't think you should have to pay to go on Twitter, but I think you should have to put your name on it.
Right.
You know, and that would put an end to it. But anyway, we're going to wrap it up with one. Because this one, me and Roy have gone back and forth on this one before. And this is a Black Twitter issue. And to all the white listeners, you might want to tune out right now.
Because
you're
going to
be uncomfortable with this. But Pam Oliver needs someone to do her hair. I'm sorry, Roy. Now listen, Twitter has gone.
Who is Pam Oliver? Let's start there.
Pam Oliver is a black sideline reporter at ESPN. Fox Sports, I'm sorry. I would say Pam Oliver is one of the most prominent sideline reporters, along with Erin Andrews, to do. And she did the Super Bowl, which you're not going to do a bigger game.
Right.
And Pam's,
woman of color.
Pam's hair.
In a white male-dominated industry. And she's been there easily almost 20 years now.
Now, Roy, stop.
No, I'm just giving you the resume. I'm just giving you the resume before you start.
I don't need her resume. I don't need her resume to tell you her hair was a mess. Her hair was a mess. Now, on Twitter, okay, I'm going to go from nice to mean, okay? We had Pam Oliver needs to accept her hair for what it is, a bad weave. Hire yourself a stylist, girl. That was one. Okay, who keep letting Pam Oliver come on TV with that nasty weave? Little Mina. Then, just straight out, I don't agree with
you. Don't read this one. Come on, don't read this one. She's a Florida A&M grad. She's a fellow Rattler.
The question of the night.
I cannot hate
her. Is Pam Oliver related to Chewbacca? And they did a side-by-side pick, and it's an arguable point. I am not dissing Pam Oliver. I am saying that Pam Oliver is a prominent television reporter, and if Fox will not provide a hairstylist because they don't understand that black woman's hair takes a different care than white woman's hair, a black woman can't just shake her head and have her hair look good, then Pam can hire somebody. Listen, I'm in this business. You get a non-union hairstylist for $150 a day. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what they're paying Pam, but I'm sure she can afford, somebody can pay $150 a day to have someone there to do Pam's hair. Does it affect Pam's knowledge of football? No, Pam. I respect Pam's knowledge of football and sports, but you are on TV, Roy. You are on TV. You are not representing, and I'm not even talking about representing all black women in the United States. Just represent yourself.
So she should just have a chick with a hair bag following her around all day the way a star of a movie
not
does.
Following you around all day before you go on.
Before I go on?
Yeah, when you
get. My day starts at 10 a.m. before kickoff because I'm in the locker room trying to get some clothes from a jackass.
Okay, Roy. Stop.
The game doesn't
start
till 4.
Stop it. You're on TV. You're on Sullivan and Son.
You can't
How
compare.
Early do you have to get
you
there?
You cannot compare
Roy,
a
stop.
Sitcom
how early
to
do
being
have,
outdoors
How early do
in
you
the
have
heat.
To get there, Roy? How early do you have to get there?
I get there at about 9 a.m.
And what do they do first? What's the first thing they do? What's the first place they send you, Roy?
Hair and wardrobe.
Thank you.
First of all, I think it's hilarious that this argument that's coming from Alonzo, a man with no hair.
Right. No. Number one. But you know something? Before I go on TV, I shave my head.
Right.
I don't show up on set with patches stubble. Of hair.
But you're not taking into account the length of her day. As a sideline reporter, let's just take an average game. It's a 3-hour game. You work in one sideline to figure out something. Oh, so-and-so got injured on the other team. So you got to walk your monkey ass, you and your cameraman, all the way around to the other sideline to talk to some trainer, get a quote from him. Oh, you're about to go live. Oh, come on. It's halftime. So now right. You got to jog off the field with the coach and let him treat you like a piece of shit. So somewhere in there, it's supposed to be a chick next to me with a hair curl.
Yeah, Roy.
Where's she going to plug up the hair curl, Alonzo?
She don't have to plug it. There's nothing more country ass than plug up. The minute you said plug up, you lost this argument.
Add that to your list. Add that with Molly.
As soon as you said plug up, you lost this argument. But you just made the great point. She has that time because there's 10 minutes of play in between her sideline interviews. And in that 10 minutes, somebody standing next to her could just get a brush. I got to touch you up.
Right.
You know that, Roy. They touch you up between scenes. You know you be sweating hoping that's you don't true. Say plug up on TV. Right? And they touch
this
you
is
up.
True.
Or right? She could run to a nearby Target and for under $20 purchase a mirror and a brush and have an intern hold it. Let me see myself really quick.
I am not disrespecting Pam Oliver's talent. I'm just saying that Pam Oliver, you're on TV. It's part of the job. Listen, Sherry Shepherd's an old friend of mine, right? I've known Sherry forever. Sherry gets up for The View. She don't get up. She goes, you know, she's 1 a.m, 2 a.m, something like that. She's up to go through the hair and makeup and everything. So she's ready to go on air at 7 a.m. or whatever time they start doing The View. And she's on that show. That's 4 hours a day. But she understands that that's part of her job. And if her job requires her to be there earlier than somebody whose hair requires less maintenance, that goes with the territory.
Attention to detail, okay. Pam.
So then why not? So, Lynn, let's just ring up every WNBA chick for not having their hair done.
No, they're athletes
in the game.
Playing
no,
on the, they're
what?
Playing
that's
the game.
That's part of their job for their
no,
hair to be
not.
Messed up.
No,
how
it's
about
not.
That?
They're no, it's in not. The game. They're in that? The game. I'm not saying players have to do their hair. Come on. Have you seen yeah, Andrew Bynum's head?
That's different.
I'm not exactly. You're a reporter. You're a reporter.
So all I'm right. A reporter outdoors. Then why not the black chick on the Weather Channel when she's out covering some hurricane? Let's just ring her up for not having her weave done tight enough in an 80-mile-an-hour crosswind.
I have never seen you know how fine people women are who do the weather. Weather women, the girls, women, whatever, who do weather, they actually look like they walked in from the club to the map. They walked from the club to the map. I defy you to find a woman not having it. When they do weather, are you kidding?
I'm not talking about in studio on the green screen, Alonzo. I'm talking about the chick outside in the yellow weather jacket.
Roy, you two went to the same school.
That has nothing to do with my bias.
Stop it, Roy.
Pam Oliver.
That is your love for Pam Oliver. You two went to the same school. The point is, get on black Twitter. They are talking about Pam Oliver's hair. The Super Bowl was a month and a half ago, and you could tomorrow say Pam Oliver's hair on black Twitter, and bam, get 50 tweets.
I tried to defend her on Twitter, and just literally could not.
You can't.
Literally not enough bullets to attack everyone.
Yeah.
And you know bullets are bad for you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Who's Paying Attention with a little bonus segment called More Than 140. Please let me know what you thought. On Twitter, you can follow at Mal Hall, at Roy Wood Jr.
Correct.
You still a fry cook?
Yeah, Roy Wood Jr. Fry Cook.
Roy Wood Jr. Fry Cook.
Shout out to my fast food days.
All right. This will be up soon on the Sideshow Network. Please let us know what you thought. I loved working with you guys. Thank you guys both for doing the podcast, for
thank
being
you.
Here, for lending the black opinion to the truth in black and white. Maybe next time we should get a white guy. What do you think? Because Mal didn't represent them too well.
I'm going to email Pam Oliver.
I was representing the white people?
No. I just threw that in. He just found that out.
What the fuck?
For those who Mal is black and Asian, which is the closest we could get on short notice. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Good
I'm Alonzo Bowden.
Thanks for
keep
having me.
Keep paying attention.